Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
At Boar's Head, we've been going back to school for over 115 years. And this year, every school lunch is reason to celebrate with the flavors your kids love and the exceptional quality you expect. Helping you make school lunch fresh, easy, and delicious. Ring the bell. The deli is open. Boar's Head, committed to craft since 1905.
To infinity and beyond!
The Lord tells me he can get me out of this mess, but he's pretty sure you're fucked.
This is why you fail.
You can't handle the truth!
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe fuck yourself.
Say hello to my little friend!
You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
Say what again? Say what again? I dare you! I double dare you, motherfucker! Say what one more goddamn time!
What? We've got here is failure to communicate.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
You get our son.
Happy birthday, Polly.
Welcome to Lights, Camera, Barstool, episode 137. Jeff Lowe, Ken Jack, Terrell Ballins. Apologies if this sounds like shit. I'm doing this from a hotel room on Apple headphones in Reno, Nevada. So,
AirPods?
No, AirPods are weird with computers sometimes. I don't like the AirPod connectivity to MacBooks. It's weird flex, but I'm not a fan.
I get it. Did you order the new AirPods, or was it not enough to get you to pull the trigger?
Not enough. I'm excited, though, for you and I to – actually, Ken Jack has an iPhone now, so maybe he'll join in for us to watch the Apple event tomorrow and comment on it.
Oh, there's an Apple event tomorrow.
Yeah. Get to talk about Tim Apple.
What are they talking about tomorrow?
I don't know, but I'm pretty sure it's an Apple event. The keynote at – well, let's just take a look. MacRumors.com. What's Apple going to show tomorrow?
Because the big iPhone stuff always happens in the fall. So I'm wondering if they're going to be doing something with the desktops, maybe?
The iPad, too. What is Apple announcing? There's rumors of some sort of service being launched.
Apple Healthcare.
Like a streaming service?
I think so, yeah.
Video streaming to go along with their music streaming.
We're going to bust the paradigms about healthcare with the new Apple Health. You get to a la carte pick your services.
Speaking of health, you guys want to know what's really good for your health? Watching The Dirt on Netflix, the Motley Crue documentary. I loved it. I'm not going to score it because it was so bad, but I loved every second of it because it was so knowingly terrible. It knew it was a bad movie. It knew it.
Motley Crue will fuck your girlfriend. Oh, it's so good. I loved it.
And Pete Davidson delivers that line with the ridiculous Lord Farquaad haircut and just staring straight into the camera.
Don't leave your girlfriend with Molly Crew because they'll fuck her. That's the lesson.
Just from the start of the movie, it just is so ridiculous.
There's a squirting scene within the opening 30 seconds. It rules.
Well, the way that you think about biopics, and it's almost like if Dewey Cox didn't exist, I would say this is the best parody of a biopic ever. Because the band forms in like 10 minutes of the movie being started in the most serendipitous of ways. And it just never lets off the pedal. It's a piece of shit, but it's awesome.
You said it ruled while you were watching it in our group chat probably 10 times.
It's so entertaining. It whips ass.
I loved what's his name, Ramsey Bolton as Mike. Was it Mike Mars? Right,
Mick Mars.
Mick Mars. Yeah, dude, that he was his delivery of every line was hilarious, and all of them. MGK is low key one of the best musicians turned actors ever. Between Bird Box and there's that other weird insurgent show, whatever, and now this, he's awesome. Like, he's actually very good.
And if you're over the age of 30, by MGK, Ken Jack means Machine Gun Kelly.
Correct.
Yeah, Ramsey Bolton played Mick Mars, who came into the movie and they made fun of him for being like an older character. So I guess at the time, maybe he was 30. And they did this flashback to like 10 years earlier of him getting a diagnosis of a back problem. He just looks the exact same.
Yeah.
Like as a 20-year-old, he just, Ramsay Bolton's in his 30s, just looks like this like middle-aged man. It's awesome.
He looked like what's his name? Matthew McConaughey in True Detective, like post like whatever sequence, like the later sequence.
I did such a good job as Tommy Lee. Oh, it was so funny. There's just like one joke in there I'm not going to spoil, but it involves somebody just Back to the Future like disappearing from the shot, and it like was one of the funnier jokes I think I've seen.
It was so good. Definitely watch it if you have time. I don't even like Motley Crue like an insane amount, and I still enjoy the movie quite a bit.
I think I said they sucked, and I'm going to give Motley Crue a second chance just based off of this movie, based off of their autobiography. I did a little researched it. Apparently the autobiography was co-written by Neil Strauss, who is the Mystery Method guy, or like the pickup artist guy.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Back
in 2001. Now I don't think it was him. I think he just wrote a book about it.
Speaking of auto, I didn't even know that Levi would ever kill that guy. I didn't know that the lead singer killed someone in
Vince Neil.
Vince Neil, yeah.
Yeah, he was drinking and driving, and a member of the band Hanoi Rocks was killed. And it was actually, if you grew up and you're my age and you watched VH1, it was a very famous incident because they had a behind the music about it. It was him and I think it was like Leif Garrett, who is a child actor or on the Partridge Family, or maybe that was Danny Bonaducci. I can't remember. But that whole movie felt like a bad VH1 movie.
Yeah, that's a good comparison. I enjoyed it though. Worth a watch.
Best possible way. Yeah, there's lots of nudity, lots of just really gratuitous drug use. I mean, they just went overboard with it.
Yeah, I haven't watched it yet, but I will probably watch it on the plane. That feels like a really good plane watch, except for the nudity part. But I'm like sitting, and there's no one going to be on my flight. So I also haven't seen Us. I don't think any of us have seen Us, have we?
Nope. Not yet.
Cool. Good movie pod. Well,
apparently everybody's seeing Us this weekend because it's made like 70 million so far.
Yeah, we're the only ones who haven't seen it. I mean, we're going to be seeing it. I mean, I'll see it immediately when I get back. So
I think I'm going to back-to-back Us and Shazam tomorrow.
Shazam's on Rotten Tomatoes with a 90 plus score, and so is Pet Sematary. And us on the podcast, we just we weren't believers in this movie, so I'm excited. I'm excited to see Shazam. The reviews have been really good.
Shazam's not out yet, though.
So the reviews have been good. I'm excited.
Ken, Jack, you have to pick a different movie to go back to back with.
Is Morrowind still out?
Probably not. No.
No, you can see Wonder Park. There you go.
I already saw Wonder Park.
Marwin's not even in the Dollar Cinema, dude. Dollar Cinema didn't even want Marwin.
Was that a joke, Dollar Cinema, or no?
What's it?
Were you making a pun there?
No, that was always a joke. There's always a movie theater that plays the second run movies that's a lot cheaper.
They're just making a doll joke. Never mind.
Dollar?
Like doll, because he plays with dolls in the movie.
No, I didn't make that joke because I didn't even know what you were getting at.
That's what I thought you were getting.
Wasn't it? You think I'm a lot smarter than I actually am. You're also a mute.
He's yelling. He's yelling really loudly. He's very mad.
All right, Jeff, how's your weekend been going?
It's good. Just gambling. We're going to get into news here in a second because I got to go down and gamble more. And also, Ken, Jack, and I have a Vegas trip on the line as we're recording right now. If UC Irvine, for those who don't know abbreviations, that stands for University of California. If they beat Oregon, Ken, Jack, and I have an all expensed except the gambling part paid trip to Vegas next weekend.
Best part is I don't know how to gamble or know anything about college basketball. And Portnoy's probably going to be betting a shit ton of money the entire time. It's going to be fun.
I have a hot take that he won't want us around him while he's gambling. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
As somebody who does not like gambling with other people, I'm actually in my hotel room right now, and my one friend and I, shout him out, Landon, we don't like betting with other people, and we bet on this bachelor party with a couple people the other night, and we lost immediately, and that just reinforced our inability to bet with people. So I'll just go play somewhere else and not get in anyone's way. PFT also has a trip on the line too. that game's about to start. If Liberty goes, he might go to the Vegas trip as well. So, Tro, you're welcome to come. Bud Light's Twitter literally asked if you would go. So
it's not for me.
I told him you're too busy at the Atlantic City or something.
I'm an old man. I got a kid. I can't do that stuff.
Yeah.
I know my lane. Look, I know my lane and I stick in it.
The offer was extended though, and you could always reply back asking for other things too. So it's there. The option's there.
Free. What if they made you give you a branded Mazda Miata?
That changes the calculus a little bit, doesn't it?
You're saying you would agree if they gave you a free car?
A free car could get me to do a lot of things. It's a free car.
What if it was like a free...
Unless I had to pay taxes on it, which I think you do on the free car. It's annoying.
What was that shitty car from the 80s that everyone had? I remember watching it on I Love the 80s on MTV.
Dodge Dart?
I don't know. That too. My mom had one of those. No, something else. Did something. A Gremlin. Dodge Gremlin. That's what I was thinking of.
I don't think it was a Gremlin. I don't think it was a Dodge. I think it was his own brand.
Yeah, I think you're definitely right. But
AMC. I think it was like AMC, actually.
Really?
Yeah, it was some acronym.
AMC Gremlin.
Yep. AMC Gremlin.
Good call. Troll knows his cars. You're going to have to call him. We'll make that a mystery category after you maybe beat Jeff in fast food.
We talked. But that doesn't have much pull anymore because I got beat last week. So there's no real... There's no real lore for Trill to come in and be the first, but
you should though.
You still could call in. Yeah, we're turning into a car pod, by the way. Dodge Dart, AMC Gremlin, PT Cruiser last week.
Any other cars in anyone's mind right now?
Cars are just too expensive these days. It's ridiculous. Oh,
in Tahoe, I had an Uber truck.
Ooh. Truck
Ford F-150 Uber.
I've had one of those before. It feels great. They have so much back seat room.
They do.
I feel like you're being chauffeured.
Yeah, that was nice. So that's that. Ken, Jack, and I are going to go watch basketball. I'm doing it here in Reno. Shout out to the guy that yelled at me in the Tahoe Casino across two tables and went, "Hey, the TikTok guy." It's like, nope, that's
that's your blacklist name.
right pod, other guy, other white guy with beard.
I actually shaved the beard. Now I have like a kind of like a Lennon mustache deal going on right now at this particular juncture. I don't like it, but I did it this morning.
It's really weird.
I did it this morning because I was bored, and then I did nothing with it except sign a lease. And I'm pretty sure the person, like the lesser, had a second look, second thoughts after I showed up.
I guess this is tough radio because people will see it visually at some point this week. But typically, when you shave your beard, you look younger. I actually think you look 5 years older with the way you have your face.
Yes.
Right now. Yeah.
Because he's not. There's nothing connect. It's not a beard. It's a goatee and a mustache.
It's like the Lenin. That's why I think that it kind of look. I think this needs to be thinner, the like the
Vladimir
middle part.
Lenin or the John Lennon.
Yeah, but John Lennon, well-known goatee haver man.
They all grew their facial hair out.
Yeah, but in beards, not in goatees or stylized.
Yeah, I don't think any of the Beatles have ever had a goatee.
Paul McCartney's what do they call the soul patch? Yeah, soul
Ringo. Patch. Ringo, have you seen me Oakleys?
Oh God! Chin strap today.
Anything else before we get into an ad read here? Anything? Press on.
Sekiro: Shadows Die Twice is the hardest game I've ever played. It is so difficult. It is so difficult for me. I am so bad at video games, and I had to quit playing this one.
You were angry.
It was making me so mad. It was. I'm getting emotional right now just thinking about how hard it is.
Jesus,
I know it's. I wish you guys could play it. I really do. It is so.
I mean, we can, and you're not proposing something impossible. I can literally go buy it in the PlayStation store right now.
Yeah, but you're going to be spending $60 to play a game that's super hard. I don't think you're that interested in it.
Can I borrow $60 real quick? I promise I'll pay it back.
I'll get it back. Don't worry.
Yeah, sure. You'll probably end up being very good at this game. That's the thing that sucks is you'll play it and you'll be really good. You're like, I don't really get it. Get good, noob.
It's not technically a JRPG, right?
It's not at all. It's not. Okay. There's like a skill progression and skill points, but your character doesn't really get better. You get a few different skills, and that's what makes it tough.
Okay, yeah, I'd probably be really bad at this then.
Very angry. All right. Well, we have a couple ad reads, and then we'll get into a couple of trailers, some pieces of news, and we had an interview with the guys from Broken Lizard. Excited for that. We'll get to that in a little bit. But this episode brought to you in part by SeatGeek. That's right. It's college basketball tournament time, so you got to use SeatGeek to go to your Sweet 16 and Elite Eight games, or the Final Four if you're feeling bougie. SeatGeek saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. Get the most bang for your buck with SeatGeek. They grade every ticket based on value, help you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. Very easy to follow. Red, green, blue dots make it simple to see what's a good bet, or a good buy. Oh, man, I got gambling in my mind. A good buy, bad buy for tickets. So you got to use SeatGeek. Make it your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket, from sports and concerts to comedy and theater, all that and more. Just download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code LIGHTS today. That's promo code LIGHTS, L-I-G-H-T-S, for $10 off your first SeatGeek purchase. You got to do it. It's a must. All right, let's get into some movie news. How about John Wick 3? John Wick 3 released a trailer last week. I actually forgot about it. I think it came out in the middle of our show, that's why. But what did you think about the new trailer for John Wick Chapter 3 Parabellum? Very long title. Just drop the Parabellum. Let's just call it John Wick Chapter 3.
Fellas, it's good.
Hard-hitting analysis from number one John Wick stan, Trill Ballins. I thought that my only question coming out of this trailer, right, because the trailer was awesome, just like the other ones, is that is this going to be the actual final chapter, or is there going to be left open for interpretation for a potential fourth? Because I'm kind of hoping that this is like the last one. And also, the more I watch this trailer, the more this movie feels to me like one of those action movies that's going to get like a TV spinoff with people you've never heard of, like Taken or Shooter or something.
That'd be kind of cool. A TV spinoff that was based off The Hotel.
But the actual series about John Wick, not The Continental.
Oh, no, I'd like a TV show called The Continental, about The Continental. Mm-hmm. And it's just about the comings and goings of various assassins.
Are they doing that?
Yeah, hasn't there been one discussed? Really? Am I in a fucking alternate universe? Isn't that happening?
They definitely discussed that. I'm pretty sure they announced it a while ago. But it was like the whole thing was they originally said it was going to be about John Wick and then switched it to being about The Continental.
Yeah, it's called The Continental. It's going to be on Star.
I would really like this thing that's already going to happen. Yeah, I kind of hope they, part of me wants them just to keep pumping out John Wick movies. It's nonstop. But at some point, there's going to be a quality drop off, and I'm afraid for that day. I don't think it's going to come in this movie. I don't know when we're going to get it. So I really do wonder when the logical ending point for this franchise would be.
Would you want to swap off Keanu?
No, I don't think
Keanu.
They could.
Keanu.
I don't think they could, unless they did some bullshit where it's like a young John Wick. Like, you couldn't do a Han Solo movie unless it was a younger Han Solo.
No last name, huh? Looks at his candle. I'm going to call you John Wick.
I'm confident this will be good, but there is something in the back of my head that tells me this has a good chance of being a piece of shit too, though. Because it defied odds the first one was good. Right. And then it defied even greater odds that some people would think the second was better than the first one. So for this one to be as good or better, I mean, that would be still kind of crazy, but I think we're also at an expectation level where we think it's going to be good. So you're not wrong, Troll, at all. There's definitely a chance of that.
I think it's still going to be good. I'm just wondering, whenever you get to the third movie in anything, I don't know when we decided a trilogy was the most fitting stopping point or the most logical bundling
Godfather.
For a group of things. But anytime you get to the third movie in a trilogy, it just seems like a natural stopping point. Maybe Star Wars has conditioned us that way. I'm sure it has its origins in, Greek writing or some shit, but I'm not educated.
Pathos and ethos do dictate for number three being the best.
Anyway, I still think it's going to be good. As good as the first two, who knows? I don't think people are going to care that much, honestly. I don't think they're held to a very high standard.
Yeah, I don't. I think people are going to care, though. I think there's a really great sentiment around it, though. I think people will hold this one to a higher standard. I think the last one had that. I think the last one could have been a piece of shit and nobody would have cared. But now,
I don't think they're going to deviate from the formula too much is what I'm saying. It's in good hands. They're not going to screw it up as long as it hits the John Wick type marks of cool karate, martial arts, gunplay, and like add in some new things. So we're obviously going to get him riding a horse, which has never been done before in the John Wick cinema universe. They're going to change it up.
the well expanded upon John Wick universe. He's never ridden a horse before. He's going to smoke a jewel. He's going to play Sekiro.
Actually, in Dark Horse Comics 137, John Wick, assassin for hire, he rides a horse. So it technically has happened in the expanded universe.
John Wick Equus play in the works.
Oh, I'm excited, though. This is I can't remember if I put this on my top 10 list for the most anticipated movies of the year, but it's up there.
I think we all did.
Yeah, it had to be. I think we did because we kept calling it just John Wick Parabellum instead of the full title, which is incorrect.
Yeah, we did, but they actually changed it. It was John Wick Parabellum, and it became John Wick Chapter 3. On a much different note, Dora the Explorer live-action trailer was released yesterday or today, sometime this weekend. Isabella Moner will be playing Dora. Michael Pena's in it. Eva Longoria's in it. Danny Trejo is Boots the Monkey. Benicio Del Toro is playing Swiper, who you don't see in the trailer. I mean, I was just hoping to see Swiper. So I don't want to ask as much as what do you think about this trailer, because I think that could be I don't know, just feels bizarre. But how weird will you feel if you have to go see this movie in theaters? That's my biggest question.
Yeah, I feel like it'd be weirder to see this movie than it would be an animated kids movie, because animated kids movies can be enjoyed by all audiences, where I think this is very specifically a movie for young adults.
Yeah, I don't think I'd feel necessarily weird, but I would prefer the theater be empty of all people, because it's, you know what, it is actually a little bit weird. So
you're gonna go to like 20 showings over the course of a weekend, and if the second you see someone come in, you just leave. You're like, nope,
immediately leave. The next
one. Yeah, that is actually even weirder.
Okay,
you just walked in a movie theater that was empty, and the guy left. I'd be looking under the chairs like, did he poop in here?
It's super sus. I did actually kind of like this trailer, but I did not know that Michael Pena was in it, and that was a pleasant surprise. Also, our boy, Temuera Morrison, Jango Fett, making an appearance. Anytime I hear his voice, it just immediately makes me happy, even though the prequels were bad. I love him. Love that new, Kiwi bastard. Big fan. It kind of looks like a theme park movie. I don't know how else to explain it. Like a combination of Temple Run and like some sort of just a theme park.
It does. It's got a lot of Temple Run to it, actually. That's a very good point. Which wasn't there? There's like a Temple Run movie in the works or something at one point. But it also has a very Disney TV movie. And I knew it was coming out in theaters, but during the trailer, and it's Nickelodeon side. And I guess it's dumb that I just said that. But regardless, it was like a made for TV kids movie. I just kept waiting for the part where they're like coming to Nickelodeon or coming to Disney at this point. I'm like, oh, that's right. It's in theaters. It just has this weird, like, corny Even Stevens movie vibe to it. I don't know, but I guess it's also for kids. So
the screenplay is by Matthew Robinson and Nick Stoller. And Nick Stoller directed Forgetting Sarah Marshall and wrote Get Him to the Greek and directed Neighbors. So the thing is he directed Forgetting Sarah Marshall. I don't know if he has writing credits on that. And that's one of my favorite comedies of all time.
He does not.
So I don't know. Cause he wrote Yes Man, with Jim Carrey, and he also wrote Fun with Dick and Jane, and he wrote The Muppets. You should like that, Jeff. So I'm gonna be real interested. He wrote Sex Tape.
Very up and down though credits, because like Yes Man, I didn't find Yes Man very good. Get Him the Greek.
I love Yes Man. That was a good movie.
All right, well, okay, fair. But like Get Him the Greek, I liked The Muppets. Muppets Most Wanted, not very good. Zoolander 2, brutal.
Oh, that's terrible movie.
Yeah, so that's interesting. And then the other guy, the other writer on here, Matthew Robinson, he was the writer of the movie Monster Trucks. Remember that?
No, I do not.
Oh, yeah.
We wrote Nick Stoller wrote Night School. It's interesting. You know what? He's involved with Scoob. He's producing Scoob.
Is he related to Corey Stoller? Or is that Corey Stoll?
Corey Stoll,
yeah.
Damn.
Our
bald king.
Your bald king.
Well, we're going to talk about Scoob in a minute. Let's go fucking Scoob.
Can we talk about Scoob? Can we talk about Scoob? Because I don't think there's much to talk about with Dora the Explorer. It looks okay.
We're, we're going to move on, but we're going to wait for Scoob. Scoob's going to be, I can't believe it's called Scoob.
No, it's Scoob, a.k.a. S-C-O-O-B, as an acronym, by the way.
Scoobert Dubert.
Ruh-roh!
Not one of your stronger impressions.
Oh, no. Can that one.
I feel like you could do a good Shaggy though, Trill.
Oh geez, Scoob. Oh, the man smells like weed. Do you have any Febreze?
That's terrible.
Oh, we're gonna table this.
I can't wait for Casey Kasem, the original voice of Shaggy.
Yeah. Rest in peace.
Before we move on, Trill, can you try Velma?
Jinkies! The only one I can do is the hormone monster.
I mean, but that's an amazing impression. You can hang your head on that.
And I can do John Mulaney.
Yeah, actually, definitely Steven Tyler. But we just have to do something maybe. With what do you call it? Big Mouth soon, because I can do a decent John Mulaney and you can do Hormone Monster. So we should work something out. Mm. And when we have Jordan Peele on the pod, we'll have him be Duke Ellington and then I'll be Nick and then you'll be whatever. Steven Tyler.
Yeah, Jordan Peele. Come on already. All right. What else? What's next? I think the next thing is Shazam. We mentioned it. Shazam, great reviews. So I guess we already talked about this. But yeah, great reviews for Shazam. Just started out. We already knew that with the social media embargo lifted that people were talking great things about it. But now it's at 94% after 47 reviews on Rotten Tomatoes. People say the consensus is an effortlessly entertaining blend of humor and heart. Shazam is a superhero movie that never forgets the genre's real power. Joyous wish fulfillment. There you go. You can read, I guess. So yeah, people like it. People are having a very good time with it. And even the one negative review here that I see says it has fun moments, but was unnecessarily violent for the tone they were going for. Sounds like a good movie to me. I mean, that's, I don't care about that part. So whatever.
Suit still looks stupid, but I'm glad that's my only negative complaint about the movie.
Me too. I think it's going to be great for the DC universe to take a nice little upswing. And I think it's carrying on that same momentum from Aquaman. I think Aquaman, as like flawed as Aquaman was, it set a good tone. I think that Shazam can carry on and help reboot this franchise in a better direction. Because again, like we say, every single time we talk about these movies, all we want is good movies. Like, we don't want the DCU to be bad. We want good movies. So this is, we love this.
I think I'm looking forward to this more than the Endgame.
we got our screener invites the other day. I got very, very excited.
Oh, I can't.
Awesome. I actually am more excited for this than I was for Aquaman, though. And I actually have a prediction. I think everyone, including our audience, will like this more than Aquaman. That's my prediction on that one.
As long as we get to see him shirtless once, I will like it more than Aquaman. That's my guarantee.
Ooh. Will you get to see him?
You can't, right? Because he's always in the suit when he does the Shazam.
That's true.
What if he went to Shazam, but like he didn't say it right, and then just he appears naked?
I will say too, that's got to be a little bit of the fun with this movie is that I don't know fucking shit about Shazam, and there are a lot of people who do. But it does that was the Guardians intrigue actually, because you don't know anything about the Guardians, and not that you knew what Iron Man was, but like that is a little easier to understand. Where Shazam, like I don't quite get it totally, so there's a more intrigue in that respect of learning the character and having fun as the character develops and, you know, comes to life on screen.
Like, it's almost like, do you remember in Harry Potter with the flu powder, like where you had to say the name correctly, otherwise it sent you the wrong spot?
Yeah.
Like, if he says Shazam, like with the wrong inflection, whatever, like he shows up as like a naked Michael Lea Day, like the guy from Meatloaf. Like, what? That's a legitimate possibility. Who knows? I don't know anything about Shazam.
I'm going to be a Shazam. I'm going to do some research. I'm going to be the Shazam expert of the pod.
I would like that for our review, which will be in 2 weeks, I think, because next week we're going to be reviewing, I think we're reviewing Beach Bum next week. Beach Bum and Dumbo next week.
Mm. Wow. I'll do a deep dive into the Shazam lore and how the Shazam community at large is reacting to the movie.
Okay, good. Yeah, I want you to be the expert. That's your job, I guess, by then. Be the expert of that. All right, ad read. And then we'll finally get into some
Webster's Dictionary defines Shazam.
And then we'll get into some Scoob talk. This episode
Oh my god. It's just Yoda. You're just doing Yoda as Scooby.
Scooby snack I need.
Ruff, ruff. It just clicked.
So stupid, but so good.
That's so ridiculous.
Right. This episode brought to you in part by LinkedIn. When it's time to make a hire for your small business, naturally you want to find the best person for the job. Odds are that person is on LinkedIn. LinkedIn jobs make it easy to get matched with quality candidates who make the most sense for your role. LinkedIn jobs use knowledge of both hard skills and soft skills to match you with the people who fit your role the best. People come to LinkedIn every day. You don't have to learn and advance their career, so they understand what they're interested in. And
Yoda would like to connect to your professional network.
Yoda has very hard skills.
Yoda has endorsed you for C++ development. Web-based JavaScript applications. Yoda has left his job at Jedi Temple.
Congratulate Luke for 2 years at Temple, I must.
Your LinkedIn jobs matches are based on skills and background, sure, but also interest, activities, and passions. Matching lets you quickly get a group of the most relevant qualified candidates for your role. Customers rate LinkedIn jobs number one in delivering quality hires. Post a job today at linkedin.com/lights and get $50 off your first job post. It's linkedin.com/lights. Terms and conditions do apply. Ooh, I've never said that last word line before. A real life ad read. Any other Yodas before we move on? Okay, good.
I like to front load the skit.
Yep. Okay, Scoob, the animated Scooby-Doo movie coming out. There's been more castings. And Zac Efron and Amanda Seyfried. I feel like I say it differently every time. Anyway, Scoob is going to be an animated movie, and so they're casting it.
So Zac Efron's going to be Fred, right?
He's Fred, yep. Yeah. And Amanda Seyfried is going to be playing Daphne.
Oh, I like those casting picks. I like that. Who's Scooby again?
Scooby is going to be played by Frank Welker.
Who's that?
He voices Megatron and the vocal effects of Nibbler in Futurama.
See, what I heard is that the whole movie is going to be animated except for Scooby, who is going to be played by Scarlett Johansson.
Mm. Well, yeah. Okay, so Frank Welker has been the voice of Fred since the inception of the Scooby-Doo franchise, but then became the voice of Scooby-Doo since 2002. What a call-up. He was waiting 30-plus years to be Scooby-Doo, and he got to be Scooby-Doo. Being a voice actor of a legendary animated character has to be one of the sweetest gigs around, right?
Ask Mark Hamill when he comes in the pub.
But I'm talking Mickey Mouse.
Who the fuck voiced Mickey Mouse?
I don't know, but they have to have job security. Now, maybe not, though, because there's got to be tons of people who could
do a spot. Your Mickey Mouse sounds like it's indistinguishable for me than whoever actually does Mickey Mouse.
Who's a voice actor you couldn't replace then? Maybe I'm just completely wrong on it. Maybe they're just so talented they can do anything.
Well, not like necessarily like irreplaceable. But like I can't imagine, say, Archer without H. John Benjamin, because his voice is so like unique in its delivery. Mm.
I couldn't imagine Garfield without Lorenzo Music or Bill Murray.
Yeah, I think maybe that my favorite voice actor ever would be Phil Lamar. Phil Lamar has been in so many different things. It's incredible. Mm-hmm. Him or Billy West.
He plays Kip, right? Kiff.
He's Hermes Conrad among many, many other things in Futurama.
No, Kip is played by it's not Phil Lamar.
I thought it was Billy West who did him.
No, it's I'm forgetting the name, but he's amazing.
Mm. John DiMaggio? No.
No, it's something.
John DiMaggio's Bender. He has a couple other people too, though.
It's something like his last name's like Law something. I
not Phil Lamar?
No. Yeah, we got to find it because I got to get Maurice LaMarche.
Okay. But yeah, I think he's up there. Mark Hamill, he was what, Joker in the Batman animated series, which a lot of people love. I didn't watch a ton of that, but I know that that's extremely beloved and that he's like a very in the lore of that show now for that.
It's so fun to watch him do the voice too.
Why is it Scoob? Why is it Scoob? Like S-C-O-O-B acronym? Do I not know Scooby-Doo lore here?
I imagine, okay. Ooh, okay, so they're tying in. This is going to be a Hanna-Barbera universe film. Did you see this? Fred, Daphne, Velma, Shaggy, and Scooby-Doo, comma, join forces with other heroes of Hanna-Barbera universe to save the world from Dick Dastardly and his evil plans. So Tracy Morgan's in this. So it's going to be, they're going to have all your favorite Hanna-Barbera, all four of the Hanna-Barbera characters you like.
Oh, he's Captain Caveman. Oh.
They're going to have Fred Flintstone. They're going to have George Jetson. This is kind of unique.
Racist Larry.
How do you bring in time travel to this universe? Now, they've had a crossover episode before, so maybe it's not that big of a issue.
I'm kind of into this, Caveman. Google Captain Caveman. You should know.
Gotta say, I looked them up. I don't know what it is, but it looks like, what is it? It?
Cousin It.
Yeah, it looks like Cousin It.
From the Addams Family.
I'll read off some Hanna-Barbera characters. Two Stupid Dogs, Adam Ant, the Berenstain Bears. There you go.
What? Dude, boomers love some dumb shit. Not trying to be mean, but.
My favorite one is Grape Ape, because all he says is Grape Ape.
All this is stupid. Also, I just want to note, I've been rewatching SpongeBob, which is awesome. Very good show. Nothing like any of this Hanna-Barbera crap.
Oh, Hanna-Barbera had good shows. Had good shows. Just
it's every single show is just like the it's like the Honeymooners, except, well, actually, it's basically just the Flintstones that was like that. But I like how that's the whole premise of it. It was just the Honeymooners that was animated.
You got to
take my wife, please.
Captain Planet, Cow and Chicken.
Captain Planet was Hanna-Barbera?
These aren't the famous Hanna-Barbera.
I'm just telling you cartoon. What's yeah, but that's not how this works here, because if it's a Hanna-Barbera cinematic universe, anybody's at play.
Who's the horse? The Quick Draw McGraw? Is that the horse?
Quick Draw is that Hanna? Yes, it is. Yeah. Quick Draw
McGraw. Yeah, and because he's famous because he has a sidekick whose name is something, but then that's where the origin of Baba Booey comes from. I think it's Baba Louie.
Pac-Man, technically a Hanna-Barbera character. Also the Powerpuff Girls, Pink Panther, Tom and Jerry. Tom and Jerry will definitely be tied into this because we know that movie's being made. Yogi Bear, Magilla Gorilla, Johnny Bravo, Johnny Quest, Josie and the Pussycats, the Jetsons. Obviously, that's one of their other very famous ones.
Jetsons. It's the Jetsons. That's not the theme song at all.
But yeah, that's the Smurfs too, and Snorks. Snorks was only on for 1 year. That's wild to me.
Do you guys ever watch Boomerang?
They're underselling this movie then. If this is going to be a Hanna-Barbera cinematic universe film rather than just a Scooby-Doo movie. I know it might be central to the gang in the Mystery Machine and Scoob, but I'm kind of excited about this now. Like I like when celebrities, I have a simple brain. I like when celebrities voice things.
Yeah. Because Dick Dastardly is the villain, and he was not a villain from Scooby-Doo.
Dick Dastardly. He was the one in The Great Race, or the... Yeah.
Wacky Races.
Wacky Races, yeah.
That's my favorite Johnny Sins alter ego, Dick Dastardly.
They haven't cast Dick Dastardly yet. Obviously, we mentioned the other day, too, or a couple pods ago, that Will Forte is going to play Shaggy, and Gina Rodriguez is playing Velma.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's it on Scoob. But now I'm very intrigued by Scoob now. Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't.
What's the acronym?
I wonder what
for?
SDOOB stands for.
Probably an easy. They're probably going to tell you it's like going to be the final scene in the movie. Scoob stand for. Why is it called Scoob?
It sounds like an acronym for some sort of like nuclear proliferation treaty or something.
Someone's got to know. If you know what Scoob stands for, tell us.
Special crew of other boobs.
There it is.
I lost it at the B. I'm sorry.
Okay, so that's Scoob. Last thing, Unicorn Store trailer. This is not a behind-the-scenes set of Captain Marvel. That is actually Samuel Jackson and Brie Larson in a movie together. And this is a movie that
is going to be releasing in 2 weeks on Netflix. Kit is a failed artist who moves back in with her parents and takes a job up as an office worker. One day she receives a mysterious letter from an unnamed salesman who invites her to the store, a strange intermediate place that sells what you need, in quotations. The salesman offers her the chance to have it sell her childhood fan. That's poorly written Wikipedia there. She has a chance to get a unicorn. I'm going to leave it at that. Brie Larson's in it, John Cusack, Bradley Whitford, and obviously Samuel Jackson. They're in two movies together in the span of a month. But the trailer came out for this. It was released at Sundance, I think, last year. What did you guys think? TIFF, actually. Is it TIFF?
Folks, Unicorn Store, that's what I call my searching for preferences on my wife and I shared Bumble profile.
I'm sorry, I didn't listen at all. I was trying to find out what Scoob stands for. Now it's just really bothering me.
Yeah, I don't... to sum up Troll's thought, this trailer wasn't very good, and I do like the team up of Samuel Jackson and Brie Larson quite a bit. I thought they had good chemistry, but this movie just did. The trailer, I don't think, did it any favors.
Also, keep in mind that she's also the director.
It's her feature-length directorial debut.
Yeah. What the fuck does Scoob stand for? Why is this nowhere?
Scoob acronym.
What? It's bothering me.
I'm not cutting any of this. You're going to listen to us fucking look this up.
You can't find it.
This is annoying.
All right. What does Scoob stand for? Sorry, we couldn't find any results for your search. That's way too many letters for that to stand for Scoob.
Scoob, and no one's even calling it Scoob either. They're like, fuck that, we're just gonna call it Scoob without all the periods. So they're
Urban Dictionary like says when you're smoking marijuana out of a pipe in a or a piece and you suck in too hard and you get ash in your mouth, that's called Scoobs.
That's okay.
Yeah, that's what we used to call it.
Oh, okay. Being as cool as pertaining to Scooby-Doo, arguably the most radical things are totally Scoob. Dude last night killed it on the dance floor. His moves were totally Scoob.
Yeah, people definitely say that.
I can safely say I've never said that before.
That was so Scoob, man. Oh, no. You immediately lose all your friends if you look at someone do something cool and say that was so
like,
Scoob.
Zoinks, that was totally Scoob.
That was better than Trills. Good job.
Low bar. Better.
I'm on Reddit looking for.
You're deep into Scoob Reddit. Okay. I think that's it. That's it on news. One more ad read here. It's Sunday. You know what that means? Time to take your Sunday scaries. Ever get that creeping feeling of dread and anxiety as Sunday comes to a close and you face the coming doom of the work week? That's called the Sunday Scaries. I think we all have them. I got them right now for sure. Sunday Scaries, great way to help fix that. CBD is hot right now. It's derived from hemp and delivers many of the benefits you get from THC without the high. I mean, it's legal to consume in your state and that you can take it at school, work, wherever you want to go. Millions of people tout the benefits of taking CBD for the positive effects it has on their stress and anxiety. They're using it for the ability it has to help them focus and relieve stress without the high that traditional THC might give them, so they can keep on working, keep on moving. They're in gummy forms. They're just gummy bears, basically, which is great. It's better than taking pills. You can just chew on candy, basically. Sunday scaries are great. We have them all over the office. Took some the other day. There's vegan Sunday scaries, too, and they're sour.
The only thing more vegan. Scoob than a cold one is CBD gummies. I've long said this.
That's true. Yep.
Very Scoob.
They're now going to call up our sales team and say, hey, we don't like being called Scoob. Please.
We don't like being called Scoob. It means cool. We promise.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. We love our Sunday scaries. Like I said, the sour one's pretty good. And we know once you try them, you will too. Right now, our listeners can get 10% off their entire order by using the promo code LIGHTS at checkout. Go to sundayscaries.com/lights. And enter a promo code LIGHTS at checkout to get your discount. That's sundayscaries.com/lights. Get ready to relax. All right. Steve Lemmy, Kevin Heffernan from the Broken Lizard movies, the Broken Lizard universe, also Tacoma FD, which if you're watching the NCAA tournament, you've seen that advertisement on True TV. We recorded this interview a while ago.
So you may hear some references that sound dated. We just wanted to make sure this came out before Tacoma FD premieres this week on True TV. Also, they started talking about Big Cat's pile and how gross our office is. So this is a very non-traditional open to an interview. So enjoy.
We're actually moving. This will probably be the last time you're in this office.
Yeah.
Because we're moving.
Right. Somewhere bigger and better.
Somewhere not a piece of shit.
Yeah. Like big elevators?
Yes. Big elevators. Yeah. Big floor.
Actually, I don't know that answer.
Really?
I won't.
Elevators? Walk up? To walk up?
More than two bathrooms.
Yes, that's more cool. than two bathrooms.
And are you bringing all the like fucking bins of clothes with you guys?
Hopefully not.
Honestly, I mean, there's no way those don't come. Those are definitely going to be moved. And the poor person has to schlep those.
Yeah.
We had a cleaning person. I'm just starting the interview now. We had a cleaning person. Yeah, yeah. It's just going to be it now. We had a cleaning person while they were at the Super Bowl, and the poor cleaning person had to go through every piece of clothing.
Yeah, that was rough.
And it was tough to watch. It was one of the saddest things I've had to watch.
Like, what, did it dust it all or something?
Just like went through piece by piece, put it into different bins. I mean, just some of the clothes are absurd. Jumpsuits, weird jerseys.
Yeah. A lot of stuff that gets sent in that's very
I got some random stuff on here last time, and stuff that's not useful anymore. Like I got a Sonny Gray New York Yankees t-shirt.
Really?
Which is completely worthless now.
Did you buy that or was it sent to you?
No, there's a room downstairs and they have gear. Okay, I'm a Yankee fan. They had a Sonny Gray shirt. I said, oh, great. Sonny Gray will be with the Yankees for the next 10 years.
Yeah. Imagine we made you buy that shit. We're like, no, you have to buy the
jersey.
Sonny Gray.
Like, you got a jersey here. I was like, we didn't know we were selling those yet.
Now they'd be a collector's rights. Collector's item with my Sonny Gray t-shirt.
Sure, sure. You got the shirt of the guy that like everybody was dying to leave the Yankees.
I got his shirt for
celebrated. Yeah.
Nice young pitcher who's going to be with us forever.
It's funny because over there at KFC Radio, they were like, who's your team? I was like, oh, the Yankees. They're like, we got some stuff for you. And they gave me that shirt. It's a shirt that says El Rojo on it with like a blue baseball hat and like
Clint
red hair sitting on the side. Who is it?
Clint Frazier.
Oh, what the fuck?
Well, he was out, you know.
Oh, can I curse?
Yeah. Yes, you can definitely curse.
Yeah. Okay.
He'll be back this year.
Okay.
He'll be all right.
Yeah.
He had concussions and things like that last year.
Yeah. So. All right, good. Because I want to start wearing my shirt.
You got to be able to wear the shirt. Yeah, you wear it next time you come in. Not obvious by the intro that I pre-recorded for this. We have Steve Lemmy, Kevin Heffernan. Guys, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Of course.
Thank you.
We're talking Tacoma FD here to start. You guys got a new show coming out on True TV.
Yeah.
You guys are firefighters in one of America's rainiest cities. I think that explains it all, right?
That's pretty
a good
much
premise,
it,
right?
Yeah,
you guys got to figure out what the fuck's going on, and what to do.
Well, it's basically, you know, it's very simple. We just walk things backwards. We wanted to get a TV show on the air. We thought, what do people really like about us? It's the Super Troopers. So, how do we do that in a different way?
So cynical, I mean.
Yeah, and we were like firefighters. Let's do firefighters. But how do we make firefighters who've got some downtime on their hands? And,
right.
And so we thought rain. That's the one.
That's how it does. That's how you stop it.
Yeah. So Tacoma FD. That's the one. And a lot of Tacoma firefighters have reached out to let us know that they are actually a very busy fire department.
They don't like that depiction very much.
Yeah.
Wait, was it like a joking they don't like, or just did some people actually?
Hard to tell. Like we had a dude who came up. We did a show, a stand-up show in Seattle, and a bunch of the firefighters came up from Tacoma, and they came up in the line, the autograph line afterwards, and they're like, hey, look, we want you to know we work really hard. We're one of the hardest working departments in the country. And we're like, I know. And so he said, do be careful. And we're like, yeah, okay. And then he handed us his card. He said, by the way, I do technical consulting for films.
Wow.
And here's my card if you'd like to hire me to come help you guys.
Imagine if every person got offended by every show, like all regional managers were mad at people who made The Office.
Exactly.
Or like people who are friends were mad about friends. Like, yeah, that's not what it's really like.
We had that with the Vermont State Troopers for Super Troopers. Like, they were the one police force that were pissed at us. Like, because they thought that, you know, It definitely kind of hurt their reputation, they felt like. And we're like, we get out of tickets everywhere else. Like Vermont, they were just not happy.
Well, because they said they were that when the movie came out for a long time, if they had somebody pulled over, for instance, cars would just drive by and people would be like, meow, as they drove past them. And they said it really undermined their authority.
I can see that a little bit. Did you understand that, or did you just kind of laugh when they told you that?
I understand it, and I don't feel badly about it. But, like, it was surprising to discover that the one police force that didn't like us were the Vermont guys, because we were trying to, you know, make them heroic and show that these guys were real people.
And you don't really want a group of cops mad at you.
No.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, usually not great.
Yeah, regardless of locations.
Yeah. But we just can't go back to Vermont.
So you're just banned from Vermont, like Sacha Baron Cohen's banned from Kazakhstan or whatever?
Yeah,
just not allowed in the state borders anymore.
Yeah. No, we're allowed in. We just better watch our
Don't get caught.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right. Don't get caught.
This premieres March 28th on True TV, 10:30. Yeah. Now, this premieres during quite an interesting time for True TV.
Yeah.
You guys are going to get the NCAA tournament.
I know. Yeah. That's True TV's big thing.
Are you guys big college basketball fans?
I have been more so in the past.
I am now. I've been more so in the very recent
past. Better be.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing.
But now I have to be.
Yeah. They're going to run a lot of ads during the NCAA tournament. And we're trying to get them to send us to a game or two. But, because I know that, right? Oh, wait, look, there's a true representative here. Look, I'm wearing my true athletic department sweatshirt here. I'm all true.
Look at this.
I'm
all true. Out.
Yeah.
I do think that March Madness is the finest sports event in the country, though. I will say that.
It is. It's just pure.
It's
pure.
Every game is an exciting game, pretty much.
That's true.
Yeah.
It's pure.
Except for when, like, Princeton plays, you know.
Whatever. No, that's exciting, too.
Yeah, I guess
that's
exciting. The last time they were in the tournament, they almost beat Kentucky.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
So any game is exciting, and you guys should go to the games.
Yeah, I know.
That's our pitch
to.
For you.
But now we're going to do a lot of March Madness promo. So
yeah, you guys are going to get
some yesterday. We recorded some yesterday already.
It's the best promos during the tournament, hands down.
Yeah. It'd be really, I mean, if only there was a true representative who could just pass along a message.
No one sitting in this room who would be.
Maybe give you guys an Impractical Jokers punishment where you have to do something during one of the match games.
We could do that.
Yeah, see, that's the thing, though, that happens is you get, the PR teams start trying to think up stunts for you to do. And in this case, they're like, why don't we stage some sort of fake accident?
I have a heart attack. Someone have a heart attack at halftime and you guys have to run out in your gear.
Yeah, when you guys get tased,
try to, whatever. Like, I don't know if that's going to be that good.
Yeah, we've been down this road with the Super Troopers. Yeah. The studio could not wait to get us back in those cop uniforms as much as possible. And, like, pull people over and harass people and basically make people hate us.
Yeah, we asked the Impractical Jokers. We shot some stuff with them yesterday. Mm-hmm. And we said, did you guys have to do? He said, no, we just went to the game and watched it, and they put a camera on us. Like, there you go.
Yeah.
That's all we need.
Yeah.
Right?
That's the way to do it.
Yeah.
They've definitely enjoyed the bump. But would you guys go on Impractical Jokers?
Yeah.
Is that something you guys would like? I mean, I feel like that's a pretty obvious question. You guys do comedy. It's
we talked
like
about it yesterday.
Yeah, we shot a bunch of things with them yesterday. We shot their after show, and we shot a lot of promos for March Madness and stuff. So,
would anything they do, like, give you secondhand embarrassment or scare you into doing?
I don't like any of that. Like, I don't like that thing. It makes me uncomfortable what they do.
Yeah,
it makes me totally uncomfortable.
But those guys are doing it to each other, really.
Yeah, but still,
as opposed to making somebody believe that they, won the lottery,
right,
and never have to work again.
Sure. You guys are kind of a similar group, right? Because Impractical Jokers, I think, were all high school friends, and you guys are all college friends.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So that's kind of almost like a similar troop. That'd be funny to see you guys do it if you went on like a team versus team thing.
The one, and I know I'll see it again in a couple weeks when I watch the tournament because I know this one will re-air. It's the one. Is it Sal? I forget who does. He goes to the bingo hall.
Oh, this one's Sal. And he has to sing bingo.
He just
that
has to yell bingo over and over, and he doesn't have bingo.
He doesn't have it. And old people were about to riot.
I've seen it 100 times. I almost turn it off every time. Like, I can't watch this. These old people are so
comfortable.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's hectic. And those guys are, definitely a little crazy. great guys, though. And, yesterday we talked about them having us on to do some guest Impractical Jokers.
Oh, that'd be me.
So it's in your future.
It frightens me, but I'll do it. Whatever.
We need to see it. Let's talk movies now.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Yeah. So, obviously, the big one you guys already mentioned, probably, like, I think two times now.
Yeah.
Super Troop. We got two Super
Name dropping.
References.
We're name dropping over.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Super Troopers 1 and 2. At any point when you guys were making Super Troopers 1, did you expect you guys to get a sequel?
No. I mean, when we made Super Troopers 1, our dream was really just to have anybody buy the movie and put it in one theater. And that's all we ever wanted. And so a sequel was not even on the horizon. Distribution was our hope at that point in time.
It took 15 years anyway, so it was on no one's horizon, I guess. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you guys expect like this sort of cult status that it got like that quickly and for it to be as successful as it was?
No, not at all. It was, again, I mean, just like totally beyond our scope of what we were hoping for. And, it was a slow burn anyway. The movie came out in the theaters and did well for an independent film with no stars in it. But then it was really the DVD market a few years later, just people passing around the movie on their DVDs that where it really took off. And, I think it was like 2 or 3 years later, we'd be walking down the street and like one person would come running out of a bar like, hey, are you guys the Super Troopers? Yeah. And then you'd go in and, they'd buy you drinks and things like that and you'd be on your way.
We don't get that status yet.
No, it's a good payoff though.
It takes time.
You'll get there.
The thing about Super Troopers 2 is that it crowdfunded the second one that kind of kicked everything off to get this whole thing going. I don't know how sentimental you get about your project, but is that one of the things that's up there with like something you're more proud of, that like your work inspired people enough to want you to make more work, not just you guys going, no, we got to do a sequel. Like, you obviously wanted to do a sequel, I'm sure, for a while, like, because I know it had been out there, but the fact that it was your fans who were like, no, this has to get fucking made now.
That was part of the thing. Like, that's what was really the driving force, right? That they, the fans want, really wanted to see it. And then when it got stalled, we kind of turned to the fans for this crowdfunding stuff, and they came through. They put up like $5 million or something like that.
Nuts.
To make the movie.
That's insane, yeah.
But then it became really interesting in shooting the movie. They were part of it, right? So part of the rewards they got and stuff, where they would come to the set, and we had, you know, hundreds of people, you know, who were the investors, come to the set, and you know, and it and then we did screenings afterwards, and we had like private screenings for those people. And it became a very kind of like, you never interact with the fans on movies that way, and it became a kind of very cool thing to do with the fans.
Yeah, I mean, essentially you are meeting people who directly affected your career and your future. I mean, without them, the movie would not have gotten made. Mm-hmm. And it's begun a relationship. Like, now there are people that we know, like we'll see them at live shows, and we know them from, you know, meeting them on set and spending time with them. And those are the people now. We've got that base of people. And so, like, for Tacoma FD, you know, that's I guess it's the mailing list, really, but that group of people that contributed, they're the ones who get all the first announcements, and they see the trailers first, and, you know, they'll be the people we go to if there are you know, contests to come and hang out.
And if you need more money.
And if we need
more
money.
If you need new money.
Yeah. But that's like, you know, Tacoma FD, honestly, is kind of the one, because not that we're jaded or anything like that, but the movies, you know, we've made movies, and this was something that was new to us. And you know, Kevin and I have been trying for a little while. Like, we'd sold a few TV scripts, and it's such a tricky market to navigate. And so, you know, now with Tacoma FD, this is almost like the biggest accomplishment. You know, can't ignore all the stuff that we've done in the past, but this one feels great because it's new, it's fresh, you know, it's just a whole new avenue.
And you have a chance to kind of keep it fresh too, because unlike a movie comes out, right? And this one you can kind of reinvent, tweak along the way as the series develops, right?
Each week you're like, oh, we're shooting the full moon episode, or oh, we're shooting the fire at the weed dispensary episode, you know? And then when we're editing right now, each week you're like, oh, we're editing, you know, the where you fool around with the this person episode. And, you know, it keeps it fresh that way creatively.
And it wasn't just Super Troopers, obviously, that kind of helped spark along success and brought you here. Beer Fest is another one that's had kind of a crazy lasting impact. I mean, just look at something like Das Boot. I mean, that's popularized in this country because of you guys.
I definitely lost brain
like,
cells from
that. There are people, I'm sure, like the further we go along from that movie coming out, that are just going to be like, yeah, that's a thing that was in Germany always. Like not, I mean, obviously people have been drinking out of boots for a long time, but like for your thing, like if I go to a beer garden in the city and I get beer out of a boot, like people are going to reference it from your movie, like you guys were referencing something that happened from the dawn of time.
Yeah,
Beer Fest is funny because I actually love Beer Fest. I think it's one of our best movies. And in, you know, in the college community, it sort of lives on, I don't know, in the healthiest way, if it's the healthiest way. I had a woman come up to me. I was at Madison Square Garden at a Rangers game with a buddy of mine. And sometimes what happens, if somebody recognizes you, they'll stop and they'll take a picture. And then if somebody else sees that, they'd be like, oh, who's that?
Starts
oh,
it's, chain.
It's those guys. And then more people, and they're like, oh, he's taking pictures. Oh, I can take a picture. And so in this case where I was sitting, you know, in the first tier, right after, like right on top of the catwalk, the first catwalk, and I was in the first row, and it just kind of started to bottleneck. People were standing in front of it and turning around to take their selfies. And so the usher made a line. He said, all right, let's just form a line along the wall here. And probably about like 10 into the line, there was like a middle-aged woman, like a dowdy middle-aged woman, took her place on the line. And my high school buddy was like, what's the story with that? I was like, I don't know. We're going to find out. And she politely waited her turn, and one by one got up to me. It was finally her turn. She approached me and slapped me across the face.
Wow.
And she said, you're the reason my son dropped out of college. Beer Fest. So, you know, I have to assume that he was doing things like the strikeout, which is something I do, and just chugging a lot of beers and, you know, and followed my path and dropped out of school.
You should just rebuttal, been like, yeah, that was the point of the movie.
That was just course leadership.
Mission accomplished.
Well, I was like, you know, I take no responsibility. It all starts in the home. Mm. That's
true. It's her fault.
It's your fault.
Why'd you let him watch?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's what my dad said to me, you know, Kev, when this movie comes out, people are going to play a lot of these drinking games. And I was like, Dad, we didn't invent drinking games. Yeah. Right? This shit's been going on for a long time before we came around.
Yeah.
We might have given a name to some things, but that's about it.
That's right.
How did the my favorite joke in the movie, how did the Landfill 2 joke come about?
That's one of my favorites.
Like, what was the inspiration behind that?
Yeah,
that,
it was kind of a weird kind of writing situation where, like, we wrote the script and we were developing it at the time with a different studio than made the movie, you know? And so we had written the script, and when you write a movie script, there are act breaks, right? There's certain points you're supposed to hit, right? That's movie 101, right? So, and one of them is when you get to the end of your second act, your heroes need to be at their bottom, their low point, so that in the third act they can rise above and they can win. And so we kind of got, we were developing it with this executive, and he was kind of like, you know, you don't really have your low point. You know, you want to have a low point when you head into your victory finalized, thing, yeah. Right? And so we were sitting around and go, shit, what would be our low point then? It'd be funny low point, one of us died, right? That would be a real low point. And so we were like, all right, but if you die, you're not allowed to be in the, you can't be in the final competition if you're dead, right? Well, what if we killed the guy and the next scene we brought him back as his brother, but he was the exact same guy, you know? Wouldn't that be funny? And we thought it was hysterical. We went in, we wrote it, we brought it to the executive, and the executive, he was like, what the fuck is this? We're like, hey, it's funny. We die, we come back the next scene, the same guy, same actor. He's like, that's the dumbest idea I've ever heard in my life. And he hated it. And ultimately, we took it to another studio, and we did it. And it's one of the best things that we like. And at the premiere of the movie, that executive was there, and he came up, and he's like, all right, you guys are right.
Yeah.
It's funny to bring the guy back from the dead. That's funny. That's funny.
We actually, our executive producer is PFD Commenter, who does Pardon My Take, who you guys did an interview with. And there's a whole issue because he's an anonymous person on the internet. Not as much anymore. A whole article came out, fucking getting doxed and all this shit. And he made the joke. He's like, oh, yeah, that guy died, actually. This is now me. So he did. So, yeah, you've also inspired that, people helping their anonymous internet personalities.
Sure. I'm the exact same guy with the exact same history, but the different guy.
And a little post-credit Weed Fest. Is that going to – is that something that
– Yeah.
Or Smoke Fest still, is going to be
Pot now? Fest.
Pot Fest,
yeah,
okay.
Is what it was. Yeah. I mean, it was a joke originally, and then a joke that people – quickly latched onto, and in the Hollywood community, you know, Willie, who's in Beer Fest, he was like, are we making that Pot Fest? Let's make that Pot Fest. We're like, all right. And Snoop Dogg signed on. He wants to be in it. And then all these other Hollywood stoners started coming forward and saying, like, I'll do that movie. And so now with Super Troopers 2, everything's just opened back up again.
That's great.
And it's funny because the producer of Beer Fest is actually the producer of Star Is Born.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So he's got a lot of juice right now.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Got a lot of runway to work with. Should we make Potfest?
Yeah. So we've been talking about Potfest, and we're talking about Super Troopers 3.
So what part will Lady Gaga have her song in Potfest?
She plays Zelda Finkelstein, my wife. And that's all I know for sure so far.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah.
More details, let us
know. You do have a lot of steam. This is like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Zelda Finkelstein.
Zelda Finkelstein.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right?
All right, yeah.
You guys were talking about writing a little bit before. Another one of your guys' movies, Club Dread. There's some lines in there that, for me and my friend group growing up, like, we really latched onto. One particularly, you've manacled me to my deathbed, you Piccadilly whore.
Yeah.
That line, we've literally said to each other, I think, every single day for, like, 5 years.
That is one of my favorite lines of all time.
Yeah. Club Dread is the slowest burn of all.
It's worth it, though, in my opinion. I like a lot of the payoffs in that movie really pay off.
Well, see, you're doing something very smart and endearing right now. This is, like... When my wife is one of these people. When my wife came up to me and was like, "Club Dread's my favorite movie," and I was like, "Ooh, okay, that's I like you a lot." And it's the one that I think really got away. You know, I think it's got some of our best jokes, and I mean, it got slammed in the press, and our fans didn't like it because I think we took such a tonal shit from Super Troopers.
They're getting now. Piccadilly Whore is great.
I mean, that stuck with me. I mean, like, we literally, I think, said that every single day. Like,
but that was the fun part of writing that movie, because the way it is, Chandrasekhar, he was directing before, he was directing those movies, and he gets so, like, angry when he's directing. Like, he gets very serious, like in Super Troopers. So we're like, we're going to write you the foppish, like, British, dumbest character so that you'll have to direct. And then when you say action, you have to switch into the stupid voice. And we would come up with those lines, like... Mm-hmm. You're going to say manacled to my deathbed, you Piccadilly whore.
It was also slight punishment for Chandrasekhar, because Chandrasekhar likes to, you know, he's not like Thorny in real life, but he likes to play that like super tough testosterone guy. And every, like, even our first movie, Puddle Cruiser, like, he and I would have scenes together, and Kevin would come up to us and be like, can you guys stop trying to out-cool each other? Like, we're making a comedy here, like, smile and stuff. So it was also partially that, too. Like, let's punish the dude for all his behavior.
So he gets those stupid lines.
Yeah.
You do talk about, you just said it, about your fans and, like, how they react to that. Like, is that something you do? Because we always talk about how subjective comedy is. It's, yeah. like, not even, I don't think there's a genre even close in terms of, like, being subjective, because yeah. people going to see action movies, they're going to see an action movie, like straight across the board. People going to see a comedy, like people will go to see your movie, yeah. may not be interested in seeing some, you know, like this year, The Favorite, mm-hmm. Right. like a dark comedy
it's
involving
so funny that you
Royals,
bring up The Favorite.
Right?
Go on.
Why?
I just watched it.
Kevin's been watching.
And everyone told me how great it was, and I didn't like it.
Really? Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, I didn't like the sense of humor, exactly what you're saying.
So yeah. that's
all comedy subjective. Some things make you laugh, some things don't.
But it's funny, because everything we talk about, like today I was talking about how I watched this movie, Hereditary, last night, that mm-hmm. scary movie with Toni Collette. And I was like, you know, it's funny because we've been editing TV, and you know, it's fast cuts on TV, and you know, these were very slow, deliberate cuts. And back again, it's like the fifth day in a row. He's like, oh man, and that the thing about The Favorite is they got these shots in there. And I'm like, oh, he hates
hanging out
with
a shot for 2 minutes long.
Yeah. Believe. So The Favorite. Go
do
on.
You have to? I mean, how much do you think about that though? And did you think about it more after Club Dread than about like who are you making the movie for? Are you making it for yourself, or are you making it for your fans, or is it a mix? Like, what's the balance there?
I think it's more for ourselves. Like, I think. The way it's always worked is there's five of us, and if you can make those guys laugh, then you're making your audience laugh. Yeah. So it was never like a, we should write this joke because this kind of person will like it. It was more like that is our sense of humor, and it seemed to resonate with other people and their sense of humor.
Yeah, I think we get into trouble when we start thinking about the fans deliberately. If you're like, well, the fans would like this, then it's not totally pure. If it is, like Kevin's saying, the five of us is making each other laugh, then we're pretty sure that it's going to be good.
Yeah, that's a good barometer, I think. Well, what are some of your guys' favorite comedies of all time?
I think we grew up in a really great era of comedy. I mean, you know, we had Saturday Night Live was starting when we were kids. And so then in terms of the movies, you had Mel Brooks, the Steve yes. Martins. You had the John Landis films, you know, the Harold Ramis. Like, you know, I mean, all the Caddyshack and the Animal House, the Blues Brothers, those are the Landis movies. But Cheech and Chong, mm-hmm. Monty Python was a huge one. You know, I can just open it up and continue to find more.
A Star is Born.
A Star is Born. Very funny movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
The 73 funny. One. Yeah.
Start
yeah.
to finish.
Yeah,
Chris Christopherson.
Funny movie.
Yeah.
But, you know, God, even the ones that we, you know, we watched, like North Dallas 40.
Yeah.
And just like random.
About it the other day, yeah.
It's such
yeah.
a great movie.
It's a great movie.
Smoking the Bandit, you know, yeah. like those. There are so many. I mean, comedies were huge when we were kids. And so I can't say that there's a favorite one, but it's just like, you know. Just,
maybe a better question is, like, what would be more of an inspiration for you guys in as far as, like, how it affected your guys' work moving forward?
Yeah, well, I think we definitely tried to make those movies like Slapshot or even, I guess, Smokey the Bandit, too. It's like the whole idea was to have a good-natured group of guys hanging out so that you felt like you wanted to hang out with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think those kind of ones like Stripes, like those kinds of movies where there's a group of guys who were kind of good-natured guys that you liked.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, it's just the movies we watched when we were kids, and maybe this existed before us, and you know, like the generation before us, but we had, maybe because of like VHS and cable TV, we were watching, I think we were the first generation watching movies over and over again, and so we were just quoting movies to each other, and that's like Fletch, you know, something yeah. my friend and I always quoted to each other. And you know, I mean, that's to have made something that now people quote is, I guess, kind of like, you know, everything's come full circle. But that was it. That was that genre of movie when we were kids were sort of what we just tried to emulate.
I think that comedy, as far as in the last like 10 years or something, it's sort of slowed down a little bit as far as not just like quantity, but like not as, some of the quality has been like dipping up and down.
Well, I mean, it was kind of interesting because we're in that studio system. You have these conversations with the studio executives about how they go, and you know, there's a strong move away from rated R comedies.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just because they just don't make the money. They don't make the international money. They don't make the ancillary market money. And so there's this very strong movement to make PG comedies and PG-13 comedies. Mm-hmm. And so when you see that R comedy come out and hit like The Hangover, right? When The Hangover came, it changed the market. And because at that time we were at that same studio, it's like they just wanted PG, and then The Hangover did it and they made $100 million, and then they're like, oh, we can say fuck again in a movie, you know what I mean? Yeah. And so also, I think it's those kind of movies, or like the South Park guys, you know, it's like when they made, you know, those movies, that's, and those are the ones that I love watching when they came out, were like, you know, when, you know, Team America is this hysterical movie, I think, and we liked it when people open the door back up again and allowed you to swear and whatever.
Yeah, Apatow did that too, the Apatow movies. Mm-hmm. And that was something. I mean, that it poisoned the market a little bit, because like anytime we'd be writing a movie then, every executive would be like, put some banter in there.
Not Sorkin-y enough
some,
in
some
here.
Dirty banter.
Yeah.
Make it, push the envelope. That's a favorite one. Yeah. Oh, they tell you to push the envelope.
Yeah, and you're like, what do you mean? You want like more like sex talk or dirty words? They're like, we don't know. Just push the envelope. And you're like, okay, just push it. Like, yeah. But no, that's, you know, it's funny talking about the fans. It's something, just to bring us back to Tacoma FD, which is
Lemmy.
Is what I
good
do.
Good work, buddy. Good work.
Yeah, there you go.
Good work, man.
Look Tacoma FD, you got NCAA it. Tournament.
Oh, I think you're getting a Final Four tickets now? Wow.
Oh, wow. Just, you guys got to be getting that by now.
Crazy.
Oh, my God.
But it's funny because, like, you know, we're discovering. I remember, like, so when Kevin and I, you know, Broken Lizard is alive and well and great. When Kevin and I started touring on our own, just the two of us away from the group, our agent was like, you know, just so you know, like when Hall and Oates, you know, if Oates goes out of zone or Hall goes out of zone, the crowd isn't going to be as big, just so you know. And we're like, yeah, okay, all right, whatever. And so, and it was true. You know, it's like we're like, we had to build that brand again. And it's funny because like with Tacoma FD, like if I post a on Instagram, like a picture of Broken Lizard, you know, in cop uniforms or something, it'll get like, you know, whatever, however many likes.
Yeah.
And, you know, Broken Lizard will get however many likes. And I find that, like, now when I post a Tacoma FD, it's like 30% of the fans, they'll be like 400 likes, something like that. So we're definitely trying to, like keep the fans involved and woo the fans.
Sure.
Let's bring it back to TV here quick before we're going to have to wrap soon. Kevin, you were in Agent Carter.
I was
in the Marvel universe.
So we're big Marvel guys.
Okay.
Have you seen his episode of Agent Carter?
Oh yeah, I know exactly what it was. Okay. I forgot it was the first episode.
It was the first episode. Yeah, blink and you'll miss it.
He was a jerk.
I was a jerk.
Oh, a real piece of shit.
She took me down. She took me down.
Now, your character, not to get grim, but it was in the 40s. Probably dead.
Right, probably dead.
But if your character was alive, would he have been snapped? Would he have been disappeared by Thanos?
No.
He's the kind of guy that makes it through.
Yeah. The snap would happen. I'd be like, what the fuck? Where'd everybody go?
You'd be still at that restaurant.
Free shit.
And you'd be the only like, hey, yeah.
I get unlimited sandwiches now, I guess, huh?
What about the whole Broken Lizard universe? Who would have survived?
God, in the snap? I guess me.
Yeah,
you'd be gone.
Only you.
Yeah, it'd be only me.
Yeah, only you would have.
What is it? It's supposed to be 50% of the people, right?
Yes. No?
Okay.
Yeah.
So the odds are, couple of us,
and it is at random, but who would be, who do you think would be the one that would?
It seems though
have the
in
luck?
the movie it's more than 50%.
It does feel like that.
I feel like
it
more
does,
people
well,
died.
More than 50% of the Avengers died. I felt like
for
sure. A lot of absolutely, them did, which that is crazy if you think about it. I know it's like half, but like of half of the most powerful people in the world all died. Like that just seems like the craziest.
You'd
odds.
Be gone. Slahansky would die the same way that Peter Parker died. You know,
I don't want to go.
He would go like that.
So you're saying you and Chandra Sekhar and Sawyer would be left?
Yeah, so it'd be gone. Too.
That's more. So just you and Jay would be left.
Yeah. That's it.
The two assholes. That's what it is.
Are you guys big comic book guys?
Yeah.
Speaking of movies with comedy in them, the Marvel movies have really stepped up. Like if I'm thinking about the funniest movies I've seen in the past couple of years, it's, you know, like
Thor Ragnarok.
Oh my God.
Yes.
That's Guardians of the Galaxy.
That's a comedy.
Yes.
Core.
Deadpool, I thought was a fantastic comedy movie.
Oh yeah. The last Ant-Man movie is a comedy movie.
Ant-Man
is
like just comedy.
It's like comedy bits after comedy bits.
Yeah.
How much do you think they told the God, who's the director? Peyton Reed?
Peyton Reed.
How much do you think they told him to put Apatow because they had Rudd in there? Like, hey, you can snap Apatow.
Rudd probably just does it now.
Yeah.
Like, I'm gonna do a bit, guys. I'm gonna do a bit here.
Yeah. You know? But that's what I love though. It's like get some action and get some bits.
It's funny though, when I did that Agent Carter thing, my agents like made a point of saying, okay, he'll do this part as long as he's not burned in the Marvel Universe. As long as he can potentially return to the Marvel Universe in some other capacity.
That's in my contract, agent. Guys. That's a good agent.
I know.
Hey,
I know.
They're likely doing time travel with Endgame.
Yeah, okay.
So it may...
Sure.
It may be
happen.
Time to come back.
It could happen. It could be a pivotal moment.
But it's certainly, I could be the son of that guy. I mean, that was in the 40s or whatever.
What if...
Yeah. Grandson of
that guy. Well, or, you know, listen...
You're cloned.
Yeah,
anything could happen.
Or now, Agent Carter is Captain America's girlfriend, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, like, and until he does make out with her niece.
Yeah, he did do that.
He does do that.
He did do that. But what if you found out that, like, Agent Carter and Man in Cafe ran into each other, and she was in a moment where she was feeling guilty about kicking his ass so hard.
Right.
And he had also had a moment of clarity where he was like, ma'am, I felt terrible about the way I acted, and I'd very much like to take you out to dinner. And they had a dalliance.
Sure.
And she had a love child.
And then you could be the bastard son of Captain America's girlfriend.
Ben Grimm would be the be the thing.
Imagine if you went and saw Endgame, and they used the flashback, and he went and saw Peggy Carter, and he interrupted her, like, about to stab you. What would you say if you're in the theater? You're like, what the fuck? Yeah. Use my footage?
I know. I didn't get my residuals here.
Would you march to Burbank?
Yeah.
Knock on Bob Iger's door?
You can't even get in there. You can't even get it. You have to sign an NDA to get on the street, so you can't even walk in that place.
Yeah.
Those Marvel guys.
We got to wrap, but I want to give you guys, we always give everyone one pitch for your show, because I think Brooklyn Lizards fans are going to love this. But
you're
going to
pitch us.
No, you're going to pitch our audience.
You definitely pitch your audience and us.
Oh, okay. What are we pitching?
Why everyone should go watch.
Oh, I see. Okay. I think I want to pitch a new show.
Give
us a new show.
I got a new show.
We also work for True TV. Yeah.
Okay, wait, hold on.
Why should they see? Why should they watch Tacoma FD? Because it's funny.
Yeah, no, I was gonna pitch him our. I thought we were gonna pitch him a TV show, but I get it. I
probably want. Yeah,
if you want to go ahead, go pitch
Tacoma FD. No, it's our. You know,
if you want those tickets, you should probably pitch Tacoma FD.
Yeah, it's about,
if we want those NCAA tickets, let's go.
We should, we should pitch a movie where we play an NCAA two rival NCAA basketball coaches.
Okay,
or coach and his assistant coach.
Okay,
and their love affair. Their secret love affair in the 50s.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's just levels and levels getting added onto this.
Would we have a mustache? We have mustaches?
I feel like we need the mustaches. Yeah, probably.
Okay.
Probably.
All right.
Because that's what people like.
Okay.
Why should people watch Tacoma FD? Tacoma FD is fucking hysterical. That's why.
That's the only reason you need.
That's
March, the poster. March 28th, 10:30 p.m., True TV. Yeah.
No, it's awesome. We have an awesome group of actors. And
a lot of people from the Brooklyn Lizard universe come through.
I saw those in the guest star.
A lot of good guest stars.
Yeah. Nate Faxon, come on the podcast.
Oh, Nate Faxon's episode is fucking phenomenal.
Yeah, he's great. He's unbelievable.
Yeah, he's terrific.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, guys.
We'd love to have you guys anytime.
Thanks.
It's a blast. Good luck with the show.
Thank you.
Thank you to them. They were fun. It was a good time, Ken Jack. They were very, as expected, funny guys. Typically, funny people are funny, so that shouldn't be too surprising.
They were. You can always tell when, like, a troop of guys is, like, friends IRL. Much like the reasons we love Impractical Jokers, and they were friends. They bounced really well off each other.
Yeah, it's been funny watching their commercials now, because again, we talked. This interview happened a while ago, as you mentioned, February, I think, and they had, as you just heard in the interview, talked about filming all their Impractical Joker like mashup commercials for the tournament, and I've seen them all weekend. Definitely check out Tacoma FD when it airs this Thursday, and that's that on that front. Okay, we have time for. One or two audience questions. Sorry it's a shorter pod, but how it goes sometimes. There's not a lot of news. Once again, we'll be reviewing Us next week. On Thursday, you'll hear us do a review of the Jordan Peele movie, Us. Before we get into any questions, though, anything on the mind? And any Scoob yet? Did we figure out Scoob?
No Scoob. But you know what I did watch on Netflix? 6 episodes, 30 minutes each. It's Afterlife. Afterlife, depending on how you phrase it. It's a new Ricky Gervais show on Netflix. It's pretty good.
Are you a Ricky Gervais guy? Do you like Ricky Gervais?
I go back and forth. I think he has some really good comedic beats when it's not just like the stuff you are tired of Ricky Gervais of, like the atheism and stuff.
Yeah. Which, I very much agree with that. Like it's so weird when you see some of his older stuff, like even that thing with Warwick Davis. I always forget the name of this show.
Life's too short.
Like he's so fucking funny in that. And then like I go to his Twitter feed for 2 seconds. I'm like, this guy sucks. Like it's a real roller coaster ride.
But the show does like it starts off and he's just playing a real misanthropic character after his wife had passed, and it's him just being a jerk to everybody, which is kind of like what you would get from his Twitter feed. But he eventually comes around and learns that. Learns to be kinder. It's got a nice little message at the end of it. It's pretty good.
Let's start with this question. What's your go-to bar food? It's a tournament. It's time to go get a couple cold ones with your friends, sit around, watch basketball or other sports or other things if you don't like college basketball. What's your go-to food at a bar?
I like a buffalo chicken sandwich. Crispy buffalo chicken sandwich.
Did we say snack or food?
Food. I mean,
like meal order.
Yeah, anything. Any answer is acceptable here as long as it's edible.
Oh, well, for like an appetizer, let's say if we're just doing appetizers, I like fries as appetizers.
Not too heavy for you?
Yeah, a little light potato action going on for the app.
What's your favorite app overall? Is it fries or is that just at a bar?
I'll take fries out because fries aren't a traditional app. I like ordering them as an app. Gosh. Mozzarella sticks are hard to beat.
Yeah.
And pretzel bites with beer cheese too. Just like pretzel with beer cheese. Nachos are okay. Typically you can't really get great nachos at most bars.
Pretzel bites, it's like warm pretzel bites.
Yeah, they come out with the warm beer cheese to dunk them in. It's pretty good.
Mm. I have to go chips and salsa. I just don't like getting too much mess in my hands if I can avoid it. And it's usually filling enough where I don't need to get a main course meal in addition to it.
Oh, yeah. I don't know, though. Chips and salsa, for some reason, just make me hungrier for food.
I guess, salt, anything with salt in it is supposed to make you thirstier and hungrier, right? Or is it just thirstier?
Thirstier
for sure.
Yeah.
I feel like whenever I eat something salty, I immediately want to eat more too. But with nachos specifically, I don't know why I always feel relatively full after. I mean, it's just because I guess it sort of forces you to pace yourself a little bit because there's so much hand action involved.
Nothing will make you waste money on your meal more than good chips and salsa or chips and dip, though, because you'll house the entire thing.
Yep.
And then when your meal comes, you have no appetite whatsoever.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What do we feel about like a spinach artichoke dip?
Not a huge fan. I do like a good French onion dip. Chewy's creamy jalapeno back home in Austin is my all-time favorite. But good queso, so long as it's – no, because bad queso is really bad.
Mm.
Bad salsa I can handle. Bad queso sucks. Like Chipotle's queso, by the way, terrible.
I haven't tried it since they updated it, though.
They updated it?
Yeah, apparently they made it better, right? Because I remember when it first came out, all the reviews were super negative, and I think they changed the recipe.
Queso 2.0.
They made it. It was all natural because that's their thing. It was just mealy. Ugh. Gross.
Yeah. Queso consistency is really tough to nail. You don't want it too runny, and you don't want it too Velveeta-y.
Yeah, you know it's a good queso when it has a little dollop. Not the center, but just off center of, you know, a little bit of ground beef and some tomatoes. That's when you know you're about to get a good queso, typically.
Mm.
I'm a mushroom cocktail guy myself.
At a bar? Or just in general?
That's just appetizers in general. At a bar, I don't see it that often, but if there are warm pretzels, it's warm pretzels.
Yeah, I like the warm pretzels.
Delicious.
I feel like I can regulate what I intake with pretzel bites. Just tear off a little bit and I'm fine. With chips and salsa, I just keep eating them.
Mm.
Exactly. Unless they're not free refill chips like at Applebee's.
Mm.
Okay. Give me more chips.
Yeah.
If I pay for chips and salsa, I expect free chip refills. No, it's not like nachos. Like if I order nachos, I don't expect more nachos.
That would be sick as hell, though.
That would be. But if I order chips and salsa, I expect unlimited chips. Like it's just how I expect it to work.
I don't think I've ever had it that way before, but I wouldn't hate it.
Also, at the casino today, walking in here in Reno, this episode coming live to you from the Peppermill Casino in Reno, Nevada, I saw somebody order while playing slots a chocolate milkshake.
Oh, arrest that man! Either that, or if it's a lucky quirk, though, that's one of those weird things with the betting places where if they have like some weird thing that like helps them with good luck or whatever, like a superstition, I'm all for it.
Yeah, that's a weird one. And the expectation that they're going to have milkshakes, that's just a bit strange. It's just weird. She walked out with four or five milkshakes on her tray alongside all cheap beers.
Were they alcoholic, though? Was it like brunch-type deal? Because some people get that a hard spiked milkshake maybe for brunch. I don't know.
Okay, fair. It might have been. Good. But even then, like when you're at the slots, you just order a drink, a small, you know, a drink or a beer or something. I've never seen the chocolate milkshake. I kind of respect it. Maybe it is a quirk. Gambling quirks are hilarious.
When I go to Vegas or a gambling destination, I tend to not eat much. One, because I forget to, and two, because I'm terrified of having diarrhea on the casino floor.
Wait, you mean having to go to the bathroom or are you diarrheaing your pants?
Well, just having to go to the bathroom, but okay. Just in a very bad way. I guess like if it's the casino you're staying at, you could just go up, but that's not always the case. I tend to avoid lactose products for that reason.
Have we talked about, or do you not like public restrooms?
I don't usually mind them, but it's not my preferred venue when I have diarrhea. Having diarrhea and having a normal BM in a public restroom are two wildly different situations.
Imagine you had like a reverse OCD quirk where every time you took a shit, you just didn't feel comfortable in your own home. You had to shit in a public restroom. Like, no, I can't poop here. Got to run to Applebee's real quick.
That would get you on a watch list, I think.
faster or slower than that lady that licked the airplane toilet? I'm sure you saw that video.
Wait, that was an airplane?
Yeah.
No. What?
Oh yeah. Oh
was
yeah.
That, was an it an airplane toilet or airport toilet?
Airplane toilet.
Oh,
that makes me really uncomfortable. I've also never sat down on an airplane toilet.
I don't think I've ever gone to the bathroom in an airplane.
What?
I get too terrified when I fly. I'm like very, very scared of heights. And like, I just sit there glued to my seat.
What's the longest flight you've ever been on?
Direct to Switzerland, I think.
So you didn't go to the bathroom once?
Yeah, I purposely didn't eat and drink because I was like, I can't be like distracted by anything else. I'm just going to sit there and try and grip my seat and sedate myself to sleep. And it didn't work. So I just sat there gripping my chair for forever.
Yeah, I mean, I hate flying too, but that's oof.
I could understand.
It's like a severe mental block.
Not wanting to doo-doo on an airplane, but like peeing's really not that bad. I mean, especially like when you can stand up.
Well, you also stay dehydrated. No, like when you're at a higher pressure or whatever pressure, like you don't, or the way, what is it? The way the water air or the air cycles, like you stay dehydrated while you're flying, correct?
Probably. I mean, you're probably right in that you pee less. I tend to try to drink more liquids when I fly. Yeah, I avoid it when I can. Let me get this straight. It's not like I'm trying to have the airplane bathroom experience in any way, shape, or form, because the most miserable part of that is actually walking to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
Just hitting people on the shoulder with my butt. Excuse me.
You know what? I definitely peed. I definitely peed on the way home because I felt more comfortable. I'm definitely remembering that. Yep.
Then you get there and there's two people waiting for it. And the flight attendant tells you have to go back to your seat. Oh, excuse me. 2 minutes later, you go back. Just miserable.
I'll never forget. I had a flight. I might've told us in the podcast before where we were taking off. We were ascending and this older woman in front of me gets out of her seat and starts climbing up the middle of the airplane to go to the bathroom while we're ascending. We just took off. Like the plane took off from the ground and she's like fucking free soloing her way up to the bathroom. And the flight attendant is freaking out from the jump seat. Like, you need to get back in your seat. Basically climbing because the plane is tilted at a 45 degree angle.
That was my favorite thing about the Motley Crue movie last night is the size of their private jet.
Mm. Also kind of cool. Like flight attendants would just bring you Coke and booze. And apparently that wasn't a big deal.
You could smoke on airplanes back in the day.
You could smoke on public. I mean, on older planes, there are no smoking signs that I think they used to turn on and off.
Most airplanes still have the no smoking signs.
Yeah, but this just to remind you, do not smoke. But I'm pretty sure that you should have indicators to say when it's okay to smoke.
Oh, right. Yeah. There was have you ever seen that really weird movie with Jeremy Piven where he brags about smoking on an airplane? It's called The Goods.
No.
No.
Yeah, it's called The Goods. And the trailer is him like talking about America. And then he starts smoking a cigarette on the plane and everyone starts clapping for him.
I don't think you could smoke a cigarette on a plane at any point when I've been alive. But I'm pretty sure in the 60s and 70s you could.
Oh, definitely. For sure. What would you do if someone just lit up a cigarette on a plane you were on, like next to you?
Honestly, probably nothing. I'd probably wait for someone else to do something.
Wait a second. Ready for this? So smoking on domestic airlines based in the United States, for instance, was banned on all domestic flights with a duration of 2 hours or less beginning in 1988, with all domestic and international flights being smoke-free by 2000. Damn. So you could smoke all the way up to 2000 on some flights.
On some flights. I mean, the major airlines probably banned it pretty early on. But yeah, what was that? No, never mind. It's a real, real old movie. They were smoking on planes. I can't remember it. Really specific information. I'm pretty.
What was the one with Liam Neeson where he's an air marshal or a disgraced air marshal?
Disgraced air marshal.
That might just be the name of it. I don't remember.
I don't know.
It's kind of cool though. I'm surprised Dan Bilzerian hasn't released his own airline where you allowed smoking.
Well, you guys aren't. I mean, have you ever been to a bar where you could smoke? I mean, I know you can smoke on the casino floor in Vegas, but I feel like their ventilation systems are nice enough.
The first time I ever went to a public place where you could smoke was a casino in Atlantic City, and I'll tell you what, their ventilation stunk. It was like it was a Tropicana. Oh, yeah. It was all you could smell was cigarette smoke. It's the only thing you could register.
A good casino filters it, though, pretty well. Like the casino I'm in right now, the smoke isn't all that bad. But, yeah, there are some where it is. You're walking into a cloud.
Well, then, back in college, you could smoke at the college bars when I went.
Damn, really?
Yeah. It was miserable because you got home the next morning and you didn't realize it at the time. But you straight up smelled like you crawled out of an ashtray.
And it's not even cool smoke, like juuling. Like, so you don't smell like peach mango. You just smell like menthols.
Yeah. You smell like literal cigarette smoke.
Cheryl was ripping Swisher sweets at the bar.
I was putting them out on my palm just to show how people how cool I was.
Where's TV? He's out back smoking a Black and Mild. Back in.
No, I smoke Lucky Strikes only. It's good for it's they're much better. I promise.
There used to be like clove cigarettes. I think they made them illegal back in 2003 or something.
Remember in Lady Bird?
DeJerum was a brand that you could get, and I couldn't get those anymore.
That's it. That's it. Anything else before we wrap this up?
Not for me. I'm done with Sekiro. I'm moving on to
Division 2.
Parenting. I think I've done my gaming kick for a bit. I got it out of my system. Good. 3 months from now, I'll pick it back up again, but I'm good.
Good. Mm-hmm. Good. Well, we wish you the best in finding a new video game.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Oh, very warm wishes.
That's it. So make sure you go see Us, though I think that we're the only three who haven't seen Us at this point. So we will be reviewing Us later in the week. Something horror related, I'm sure, at the end of the pod. Not quite sure what we'll do yet. Maybe we'll do like the drafts have been great, so maybe we'll do a draft. I don't know. We'll figure it out. We've been coming up with something on the fly at the end there. So make sure to go see Us. You can review Us give your rating for Us in the description below on this link, as with every movie from this year and from last year as well. And that's it. For Ken, Jack, and Trill, this is Jeff Lowe. We will talk to you on Thursday.
Have a good week at the box office. I don't even recognize. I don't even recognize. You always fought my battles, but now you make it hard for me to find a way out of this storm. Follows me above my head and oh, it rains, oh, it rains. Yeah, yeah. Darker days, darker days. It's not me, yeah. I don't even recognize my heartbeat, yeah. Feel like I'm losing time. Here we go. Something that I don't know. Let's break the chain and learn to let go. I need you to show me, I need you to. Please tell me something that I don't know. It's not-